always nice to be in here.
You got some special guest stars for you guys right now that you weren't aware of, but hey.
Family, so salute to Jake and Noobs. Having a day off, good for you guys. But we are here, and let's get into the show. Before we do, let's shout out a sponsor, Derek, if you wouldn't mind. Then we can get straight to it.
Most definitely. Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at buffalowildwings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
There we go.
Whoa, there we go, Buffalo
Very,
Wild Wings.
Very enthusiastic greed. I appreciate that. You're coming in on fire. I love it.
You know, so, guys, like I said, spice it up a little bit right now.
Last time we were here filling in, Kobe had just announced his retirement, and we spent pretty much the entire show talking Kobe.
We did, yeah.
And it just so happens we're here after his very last All-Star Game appearance. So we will spend some more time talking Kobe, but we won't give you 30 minutes this time. So
it's funny how history repeats itself.
A lot of news, a lot of fun stuff to get to. So let's start there. Let's start with Kobe. It was Kobe's last All-Star appearance.
It was.
All-time leader in points in the All-Star Game. Along with all the other accolades, I mean, you guys can look it up.
18 appearances. Yep. I mean, the guy's a legend. His send-off is rightfully deserved on
Agreed.
His behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see him get this reception, especially because, let's face it, he's probably one of the, at his peak, was probably one of the more hated guys, you know, in
Absolutely.
The NBA. Which, again, hatred is merely just your form of, like, a jealousy in a sense that you don't have him on. He's not your guy, so you obviously he's your arch enemy to your guys' team.
Well, I think that's let's stay with that for a minute, because I find that to be one of the more interesting things going on with Kobe this season, because he has been such a polarizing figure in the NBA for years. And it's odd to me to watch him being cheered at when he's playing away games, and he's being cheered. I don't know if you saw the game. I think it was a week or so ago against the Cavs. And late in the fourth quarter, he started hitting a couple threes, and the crowd's going crazy. And it's only because he's no longer a threat, right? The Lakers aren't any good. Kobe's not very good anymore. And so now it's like the 30 for 30 effect. You know, you take the bad boys, the Pistons, bad boys of that era that were a very much hated team at that time. But you look back 20 years, they're no longer a threat. And it's like, oh, they're such a misunderstood, lovable group of guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like that same kind of thinking is going into the way the fans are treating Kobe this year.
That is true. There also has to be that aspect of just, for the most part, there are a lot of people who are just fans of the game.
Sure.
And he has, minus his personal life is outside the court. His on the court is just, it's spectacular, mm-hmm. and that's deserving of it as well. The guy has, you know, definitely maybe lost a lot of fans along the way, and I don't know if maybe there are people in the fans that consider he's had that. A lot of people are just like, we love him.
Sure.
Apparently, and we all do.
It's odd for me to see this very, I don't want to call him watered down, but a much more softer side of Kobe than we're used to seeing. We're used to seeing the lower jaw stuck out, him, you know, doing the airplane wings as he's running down the court after he just hit a turnaround fadeaway to go up in the waning seconds of the game. And we're used to this, you know, kind of killer mentality where he just, you know, he wasn't very one of the more competitive athletes, I would say, across sports.
Definitely.
And definitely in his generation, maybe the most, or at least that's what he was known for.
Reputation.
Right. Just this very, not necessarily, I don't mean is oversimplifying it, but just very competitive, kind of a
winner. And he'll do whatever, step over you if he has to. If
right.
That means, even if you're on his team. And he's done that before, not, you know, figuratively, but just the idea of making his presence known and his will be done almost.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting to see the transition, because Kobe was not very friendly with the media most of his career. Like I said, he was very much aloof, and, you know, now to see him being very playful with other fan bases, it's just, I don't want to say it's weird, but it's just, I liked the mean killer Kobe.
And yeah, I think we all do, but unfortunately, I don't think he can't be that anymore, you know?
If
he were to do that, he would look like a sad, like, That's ragged old pup, like a dog trying to like act tough. And it's like, no, dog, you have like three legs. What are you trying to do?
It's much more effective when you're averaging 30 and, you know, in the top five in scoring and not, you know, statistically one of the worst NBA players in the league.
I think that's one of the reasons I kind of appreciate it more right now is the fact that he's gotten to a point where he just kind of he's accepted where he's at.
Sure.
And just said, hey, I'm just going to take it for what it is. And he definitely has that aura about him, like this kind of wise old man that just looks upon the game with like a third person view right now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool to see this side of him because that old Kobe is gone. He's only left in the highlight reel at this point in time and what we've seen. So I think this is the best way that we really can see him off at this point. And
I totally agree with that. It's just it's weird juxtaposition.
Definitely, yeah.
To who he used to be. So this weekend, All-Star Weekend was definitely Kobe's weekend. It was to celebrate his career in the NBA. And again, keep in mind, you know, he's played as long in the NBA. He's played more than half his life has been as an NBA player, which is kind of crazy to think about. But let's continue.
I was saying,
on.
We got to say, I mean, not to kind of ruin it, but Aaron Gordon clearly jumped over him in stardom at this point in time right now. Pun definitely intended in all aspect.
Awkward transition, but yes, let's discuss.
Sorry,
the
I just had it in the back of my head. I had to get it out.
No, you're good. You're good. The dunk contest after a very, very awkward intro as the players kind of came in and had Will Barton walked in doing the Thriller with a bunch of girls dressed as zombies. I didn't understand any of it. Definitely
like 4 hours of makeup job for about a 5 second bit.
Right. Yeah. And I definitely, my old man was coming out at that point. I am 31 and watching that, I was just like, God, this is so gimmicky. This is so stupid. And then we got down to the dunk contest. And in my opinion, I was always, when I was very young, I got a tape, like a highlight tape of all the former dunk contests. It was, you know, not obviously them in full, but it basically was showing some of the best dunks in the dunk contest from, you know, yesteryear. And that's what, when I was a little kid, I was like, I need dunking and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I've always been a huge fan of the dunk contest, even in the years, especially recently when it's been kind of down. I always tune in, and in my opinion, this was, as far as just the way it ended, one of, if not the best dunk contest I can remember, because we had two guys dueling. And
crazy, like in the air, battling midair.
Insane what Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon were doing, and it was fun to see how they kind of went tit for tat, pun intended. They went tit for tat with the dunks, and they were getting perfect score after perfect score into extra round. And Zach LaVine was your dunk contest winner, but I think that's not really indicative or really even important to the storyline.
No.
Just the fact that we had these two young guys showing out and actually putting on a memorable show for the first time in years.
I mean, because like, we've had guys come out, and it's usually like maybe one guy is the real highlight film.
Zach LaVine, last year.
That's what it was. And there was no second head to that dragon
I couldn't even tell you the other participants last year.
I'm trying to think about it right now, and I'm drawing a blank. So, yeah. But this time, like I said, you had two guys, and just the moves that they did were incredible. I'm sure most of you have seen some highlights of maybe one, if not two of them. But if you haven't, I would highly recommend just seeing some of the still photos are out there.
Unbelievable. The one of Aaron Gordon is probably the one
that comes
to mind when he is, his face is looking, his eye level is at the rim or a little above, and he is jumping over a mascot, basically sitting down in midair with the ball underneath his legs. And it was, the still shot of that is ridiculous. But the dunk contest started off without a bang. And, when we got into the championship round, though, the stakes were raised, and they really put on a show. And, unfortunately, the dunk contest is still a bunch of guys trying to make a name for themselves. You know, we don't have the Dominique and Jordan, future Hall of Famers.
Unfortunately, as far as we know,
you never know how their careers are going to span. But, just looking at the first couple of years for both those guys, you would imagine they're probably not headed towards Hall of Fame.
I mean, probably not.
Zach LaVine is a bench player, role player at best right now.
He might be something. They have potential, but like potential to be continuous all-stars maybe.
Right. Well, but their potential is athleticism and their age, right?
So yes, exactly.
It wasn't like a surefire Jordan his rookie year when you're like, oh yeah, this is something
yeah,
different.
And unfortunately, it hasn't attracted that star quality at all.
No, not since Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady were in it last, I think, was the last time we had two guys who,
at
you know,
the peak of their, like,
borderline Hall of Fame, but definitely, you know, you were, you know, perennial all-star player. So I thought it was minus that factor and the not having the star power. I thought this was it was a great show. Crazy entertaining.
Oh, I was going crazy watching it in my house.
Yeah.
Like, just going nuts.
You and I were kind of texting back and forth. Yeah. And it was awesome to watch. The three-point contest, I thought, was going to be kind of the highlight of the weekend with Klay and Steph, obviously.
It set the bar really high.
Headlining
it
that.
Really did.
And that was very entertaining.
Yes.
Steph won last year. Klay won this year.
Klay and Steph dueling out in the final round. It was, you know, what any Warriors fan would want
right,
to see, honestly.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm sure that,
I was rooting. Yeah. I was pulling for Klay because Steph got it last year. And
yeah, I mean,
I knew how bad Klay wanted it. He's talked about it over and over. So,
but his little note that his dad gave him was pretty funny, saying that he better win and can't come home. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So congrats to Klay. Congrats to Zach LaVine, your 3-point contest winner and dunk contest winner, respectively. The weekend was capped off last night with I'm one of the few people, and I said it on the show last year, that really enjoys the All-Star game.
Ooh, I'm staying there with you.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
This year was disappointing because they never really play defense, but at least they like try to stand in the way. So, and this year seemed like everyone was out on vacation. It looked like it was like an exhibition, which it is, but it just looked like it almost was like a dunk contest. And usually that's awesome when people are at least in the way, so it looks like they
had a real game is in session.
Yeah, it looks like they had to work to get that dunk. But this year is like, you know, someone's throwing an alley-oop. Everyone on defense, run the other direction.
Yeah.
Get away from the rim. Let them dunk. So, it was what it was. It wasn't great, but
I mean, it was almost the winning. The West won with 193 points.
You
was
know,
it
stupid?
193 to 176 was the final score.
James Harden looked at that game and was like, "Come on, man, let's play some D."
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little lackluster. It wasn't very exciting, but I enjoyed those games. All the guys, for the most part, are mic'd up. They're having a good time. I like seeing, you know, the best players in the league kind of interact. And
yeah.
So it's always
like a fantasy of ours to think that they're all like best friends somehow
off
the court. And like, it's just kind of be able to see, be a little bit into that inside world.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's always like different special guests that come and do the broadcast. You were mentioning Kevin Hart did the dunk contest. And I just, I don't know. I think it's, you know, the game is for fans and kind of not necessarily for your hardcore basketball junkies who, you know, want to see defense and screens and set plays. But I think it is great for your casual viewer and for the kids. And
if you
I
like
still
offense,
enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like offense, hey.
Scoring, yeah, it's all sauce.
Absolutely. So that was, it was cool. It was fun. More with the NBA. Let's stay with the NBA. I guess we're going to stay with basketball and the NBA for most of the show, as not a whole lot is going on elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, we can say that pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting at the end of this week.
Yeah. Do you have something to say about that?
No. Let's go Dodgers.
Yeah,
there we go.
Go Giants. All right. That's your baseball talk. 90.1 KZFR, your home for baseball news. And I'm sure as that starts, Jake and Noobs are some of the best I feel anywhere. And we're lucky to have them locally because they know their stuff when it comes to baseball. And they will, I'm sure, be talking about it in the next few weeks here. So we'll leave that up to the experts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sure we'll be on over the summer and get a chime in with. But anyway, is this Thursday. And let's take a listen real quick to what Stephen A. Smith had to say about Blake Griffin. I believe this was on the NBA Lockdown podcast. Let's take a listen.
Keep your eyes on the Clippers, because from what I'm hearing, even though it's not imminent, they are trying to get rid of Blake Griffin. They are trying to part ways with him. So I think we got to keep our eyes on all of that right now and stay tuned for what could potentially happen.
So that was Stephen A., like I mentioned, talking about the Clippers potentially parting ways with Blake Griffin.
That's
thoughts
a big
on
name.
That?
That's It's an interesting name. I mean, he's definitely his name has been in the news for all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm. He, for those of you who don't know, he got in a fight with an equipment manager
for the team
yeah. who he's buddies with, apparently, and broke his hand, so he's out 4 to 6 weeks,
something around
like
those lines. He's got a couple more weeks before he's even able to get on the court. So
right. So you know, a little bit of off court controversy. Blake Griffin, in my opinion, is, and I think anyone who watches the NBA would say, he's one of the best power forwards in the league.
Oh yeah,
and I think that's pretty undeniable.
That's
right?
Definitely one of the reasons why it's an interesting name to be popping up, because right. his star quality is definitely there. His potential to give even better is there, so there's a lot of interest. I'm wondering if teams are really going to be detracted by these incidents that have happened to him.
Well, but he's never been, I mean, he had that incident in Vegas a couple years back, but he's never been a rebel rouser. You know, he's never been the type of guy
not necessarily
into
no
too much trouble off the court.
I mean, but like I said, you did mention that time in Vegas. I've heard his name in the news more times than just those twice for wrong reasons.
But no arrest so far. Nothing crazy.
True. Yeah,
you know, so
you know, it'll be interesting to see like what teams will be are trying to go after him right now, because the guy that's on the
years remaining on. So, he's having an. He's still yes compared to old Dwight Howard. Yes,
he's not the same.
He's obviously the injuries have started to catch up to him, and in this day and age, the big man just isn't the centerpiece of the team as it once was, and you know he just it's an interesting transition right now. The times in the NBA, it's just interesting because you see more and more teams going to, for lack of a better phrase, more of a spread offense where you can have your stretch four, your stretch five even, who can come out and guard someone at the three-point line, who can shoot the mid-range jumper. And that's kind of the way the league's trending.
Definitely.
And now, Dwight Howard doesn't do either of those things well.
And it's definitely he's on a team where it's the one guy that wants to do all of that on his own.
Right.
So it's hard for him to even get the ball. But one thing I did hear over this weekend that kind of by Charles Barkley, he mentioned how he thinks that the NBA is one of its worst times right now in terms of its watchability. I don't know if you heard that comment at all.
No, I didn't. But
he said how it's all terrible to watch except for maybe two or three teams. And I think we all know the two or three teams he's probably talking about being the Warriors, the Spurs, and you mentioned Oklahoma City, not the Cavaliers, actually.
Interesting.
Were the three teams that were potentially watchable and anyone's that could win a championship. So he did not mention the Cavaliers as a potential winner. He was just leaving it for those three. And I was just wondering what your thoughts on that. Like, you especially being an avid basketball fan from your youth on have seen the transitions of it more so than I have. And what was your take on it? How do you rank what's happening right now?
Yeah, I kind of have a theory about this. And this is actually the first time I've heard that. So I appreciate you bringing it up. But I think Charles Barkley doesn't like change when it comes to the NBA. And here's what I mean. For years now, this goes back to last year, as recent as last year, and I know he was even saying a little bit of this at the beginning of the NBA championship. Well, the Warriors proved him to be wrong there. And then he was saying at the beginning of the season how a jump shooting team just, you know, they kind of caught some breaks. And I think anyone who has been paying any attention to the NBA this season can see
that's a lot of breaks they're catching.
If that's the case, they're catching a lot of them at like a historical rate right now. So, I think it's one of those things where, you know, he is obviously a Hall of Famer, a former great, and it's, you know, it was always, everything was better in your day. Music was always better in our day, you know. These kids and their stupid EDM. It's the same kind of thinking. And I think how the big man's role in the league has, I don't want to say diminished, but it has transitioned, like I said, to the
you have to be able to shoot the
stretch
ball.
Four. And that was never Chuck's game. He was a power forward. Yeah. He liked to go bang. He had a bit of a jumper, nice little turnaround, but he was, you know, 5 feet from the hoop and in, you know, he liked to back people down. You know, get dirty and, you know, do work off the glass and all that kind of stuff. And I just think it's one of those things where, you know, it was just better in your day. But I completely disagree. I think watching the Warriors this year is and obviously there's bias. I can't deny that. There's bias. I've rooted for the Warriors ever since I've liked basketball. But I think just from the pure aesthetics of the way the style they play, I've never had so much fun watching a team play basketball. The way they move the ball, the skill in which they play with, the shots. I mean, they're hitting open jumpers all the time because they're getting them because they move the ball so well. They share the ball. They play defense. I mean, so I don't agree with Chuck. And I think, you know, maybe the league is somewhat more watered down, but I mean
that's going to happen when you get to a point in time where it becomes a cash favored league in terms
sure.
of, you know, teams, whoever has the most money is going to be able to attract the most star quality,
right.
and vice versa. And you know, whether you have a cap on there or not, you still have ability to put money as a vested a variable in this equation,
right?
And that can very much lopside things. So yeah, you're going to get small market teams that are going to water down the league a little bit because they cannot afford to compete with the bigger market teams.
But I mean, OKC is competing, and I would just say, you know, in regards,
they did get some nice draft picks on them, so that's really
well. Yeah, they have
right
to build
there.
Through the
yeah.
draft. They have no choice.
Yeah, and
are you going to want to spend your career in LA, Miami, or OKC? You know,
yeah, and
unless you're drafted there and you have loyalty, but I would say in response to Chuck. Yeah, he had Jordan along with a bunch of other guys in his generation, but right now we have some all-time greats. Steph Curry, best shooter of all time off the dribble, hands down, already.
He has become that, yes.
Kevin Durant, we've never seen a player like a seven-footer with the skill set Kevin Durant has. LeBron, all-time great. You know, we have all-time greats in the league right now, so I would disagree with Chuck. I think Chuck is just kind of protecting his generation and the way they played, and of course he doesn't like this new age ball where the ball moves and people are, you know, shooting threes at a level at a rate that we've never seen before. So I understand where he's coming from, but I disagree.
Okay. Yeah.
But speaking of the ball flowing and looking great, Craig Popp was recently quoted talking about the Warriors. Let's get into the soundbite and then we can kind of discuss reaction to it.
I've spent more time thinking about Golden State than I have any other team I've ever thought about in my whole career, because they are really fun. I'd go buy a ticket and go watch them play. And when I see them move the ball, I get very envious. When I see them shoot uncontested shots more than anybody else in the league, it's inspiring. I'm actually enjoying them very much. You try to solve them, but they're in a sense unsolvable because it's a particular mix of talent that they have. It's not just that Steph can make shots or Clay can make shots or Draymond Green is versatile. Everybody on the court can pass, catch, shoot, and they all get it.
So that was Greg Popp, like I mentioned.
Wow, that was the most words I've ever heard from him before.
Right.
Wow, talking about the Warriors too.
And I think that was very telling. And again, about the Charles Barkley comment, here's one of the, if not the best coach of all time. I mean, I would put him up there with Red Auerbach, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson.
He's a top five coach all time. Yes. Yeah, I think anyone can say that.
Yeah, you know. I think easily the argument's made. And to hear him kind of rave, you know, how they're doing, sitting back and actually enjoying watching the game, I thought that was pretty telling coming from
Pop. Definitely. I think it's kind of great having that. Just to talk sometimes.
Sure.
Like sometimes you do in this industry, the media, mm-hmm. you kind of have to, you know, that's your job, is to start saying something that's controversial. So, hey, no harm to him. But having Pop say that, again, like you said, a guy who is as respected as he is, it is fun to watch. You're gaining fans left and right. The team is, based on the style of play and how much fun they are to watch. People who don't like watching basketball are becoming fans of them. I've talked to them, many of them,
right.
working at, you know, Bella's Sports Pub, where the Warriors games are always on. We get new people in there all the time who are always coming in to watch the games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it is a tribute to them and the homage that they're playing to this game right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, again, there's obvious bias here, but I've been watching the league a very, very long time, and this is, like I said, the most fun I've ever had because they are such an unselfish team. The style that they play with, where they just, there's sometimes, man, where Steve Kerr, great example was last year, that play most of us remember when Steph Curry is dribbling throughout the entire Clippers team, then does a turnaround fadeaway three from about 28 feet and drains it, and you see Steve Kerr's reaction where he's like, no, 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 oh my God, what can I say?
Yeah.
And there's sometimes where they'll just get loose like that, and they're playing, and you can just tell they're enjoying playing with each other. You can see from the Instagram videos of them hanging out on the plane and, you know, partying and, you know, just having a good time. You could tell that these guys not only enjoy playing with one another, but it seems that they really enjoy each other's company. And, you know, that's something that's really hard to quantify. I think a lot of Bay Area sports fans, especially thinking back, can draw some parallels thinking back to that 2010 Giants team that won the World Series, where it was kind of this cast of misfits and outlaws and rebels and all this. But you could tell that they really enjoyed each other's company. Now, obviously, whenever you're winning, it makes it so much easier to get along with the people next to you. But the way they're playing this season, my God, I mean, it's
your savages out there.
It's been unparalleled. I mean, that leads me to this question. 72-10 was the 95-96 Bulls record, all-time record. Do the Warriors beat that in your opinion?
Yeah, I believe they can. And I really think that even if they're not even trying to do that, they're going to do it anyway, it seems like. Just to look at the style of play that they have, it's so difficult to guard. I mean, looking at their stats, like they like lead the league in 30 plus assists a game.
Yep,
they're the best at that. Just the fact that their team is a style of basketball that, from what it looks like, has no defense can stop it. Only four have at this point in time.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, they played 51 games and they've lost four. So they're on pace to beat the record. And the way I look at it is, I believe that they have more of a margin for error than anyone in the league. You can look at that OKC game. People are looking at OKC and being like, oh, they may be a contender. They may be able to knock off the Warriors because they only lost by 8.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, the Warriors had a miserable, I think it was third quarter, or I can't remember.
They had their first, they got so high up in the first half at that point.
They scored 73 points in the first half. So,
I mean, the only thing is, though, that they have yet to play in OKC and in San Antonio.
Sure.
They have those two games that are still.
They have two in San Antonio, I believe. One in OKC, and then they get both of those teams back at home. They have yet to lose at home this season. I believe they've won 42. Man, I should have had this in front of me, but they're like two games behind the all-time record for games, consecutive games won at home. So, you know, at this point, there's no reason to believe that they can't break it or won't break it.
I believe I also saw another start too as well. It's coming to my mind. It's in the last 82 regular season games. I believe they are better than that record of 72-10. I think they said it was 74-8. It might be 72-10,
right.
But they are at that record or better than in their last 82 regular season games. So not to say that that's kind of an incongruent stat because they're two different seasons and you can't compare them, but still.
But the point they've done was it. Standing, yeah.
They have done it in the span of time in regular season games. So they can. I feel like they can, and like you said, I don't see them stopping anytime soon in the style that they're going at.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I just think, you know, barring a catastrophic injury, it's just I don't see how you stop them. They, you know, Azili's out for 6 weeks. They just keep on rolling. Kerr missed, you know, 40 some odd games. They kept on rolling. So unless, you know, a major injury comes down to one of their star players, Steph, Clay, Dre, one of those guys, a really, really key guy. And Azili, to me, is very key, and they're going to need him if they want to win a championship. But, I just, as far as the regular season goes, it's nice to actually the regular season means something in the NBA again, and it's fun to watch. So, we have to kind of wrap things up. I really wanted to mention real quick here, Chico State men's basketball. They have won 7 in a row. They are playing Cal Poly Pomona this Friday. Go check them out if you get a chance. They're a ton of fun to watch. I went to a game a week or two ago. They're dunking out. They're throwing alley-oops. I mean, they're a ton of fun. ESPN's going to be here this Friday. So go support.